Tishtya Haresya Pavata Pada Puva Paropanitas Tavajanmane Shitu Tishyankitam Tvat Padakai Shushobhanair Trakshyamakam Jam Chattavanu Kampitam Tishya Haresya Pavata Pado Puvo Paropanitas Tavajanmane Shitu Tishyankitam Tvat Padakai Shushobhanair Chakshyamakam Tyam Chaptavanu Kampitam Tishya Haresya Bhavata Pado Puvo Paropanitas Tavajanmane Shitu Tishyankitam Tvat Padakai Shushobhanair Chakshyamakam Tyam Chaptavanu Kampitam Tishya Haresya Bhavata Pado Puvo Paropanitas Tavajanmane Shitu Tishyankitam Tvat Padakai Shushobhanair Rakshyamakam Tyam Chaktavanu Kampitam Tishya Haresya Bhavata Pado Puvo Paropanitas Tavajanmane Shitu Tishyankitam Tvat Padakai Shushobhanair Rakshyamakam Tyam Chantasanu Kampitam.
Ladies,
Tishya Haresya Bhavata Pado Puvo Paropanitas Tavajanmane Shitu Tishyankitam Tvat Padakai Shushobhanair Chakshamagam Jam Chatrata Kampitam
Tishtya by fortune Hare O Lord Asya of this world Pavataha of your lordship Padaha of the place Puvaha on this earth Bharaha the burden created by the demons. Apanitaha, now removed. Tava, of your lordship. Janmana, by appearance as an incarnation. Ishituhu, you, the controller of everything. Dishtya, and by fortune. Ankitam, marked. Tvat padakaihi, by your lotus feet. Sushobhanaihi, which are transcendentally decorated with the marks of conchal disc, lotus, and club. Drakshyama, we shall surely observe. Kam upon this earth, Dhyamcha in heaven also, Tava Anukampitam, due to your causeless mercy upon us. O Lord, we are fortunate because the heavy burden of the demons upon this earth is immediately removed by your appearance. Indeed, we are certainly fortunate, for we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planets the marks of lotus, conch shell, club, and disc that adorn your lotus feet. Purport. The soles of the Lord's lotus feet are marked with Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, and also by a flag and a thunderbolt. When Krishna walks on this earth or in the heavenly planets, these marks are visible wherever he goes. Vrindavan Dham is a transcendental place because of Krishna's walking on this land frequently. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were fortunate to see these marks here and there. When Akrura went to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram away to the festival arranged by Kamsa, upon seeing the marks of the Lord's lotus feet on the ground of Vrindavan, he fell down and began to groan. These marks are visible to devotees who receive the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tavanukampita. The demigods were jubilant, not only because the appearance of the Supreme Lord would do away with the burdensome demons, but also because they would be able to see upon the ground the transcendental marks from the soles of the Lord's lotus feet. The gopis always thought of the Lord's lotus feet when he was walking in the pasturing grounds, and as described in the previous verse, simply by thinking of the Lord's lotus feet, the gopis were fully absorbed in transcendence. Avishta cheta napavaya kolpate. Like the gopis, one who is always absorbed in thought of the Lord is beyond the material platform and will not remain in this material world. It is our duty, therefore, always to hear, chant, and think about the Lord's lotus feet, as actually done by Vaishnavas who have decided to live in Vrindavan always and think of the Lord's lotus feet 24 hours a day. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pradhan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha
Kripa Sindho Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tishya Hare Sya Bhavata Pado Puvo Bharo Panitas Tavajanmaneshitu Tishyan Kitam Tvat Padakai Shushobhanair Drakshyam Agam Dhyam Chatavanu Kampitam.
The demigods are praying to the Lord in the womb of Devaki.
Dishya hare sya bhavata pada padobhuvo.
It's our great fortune that you're about to appear.
Dishya means good fortune.
Padobhuvo. You are going to have your lotus feet on this earth planet.
Bharo panitas tavajanmana ishituhu.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Isha, Isha vashamidam sarvam.
You are now going to remove the heavy burden of the demons. The demons are just a burden on the earth.
Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana navidurasuraha nashocham napi cha charo nasatyam teshu vidyate
Prabhavanti yuga karmana akshayaya jagato hita. They just create vicious activities meant for suffering and destruction. They don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Their whole business is just dirty dealings. Nashocham napi chachara. Liars, cheaters. And armed to the teeth. Ordinary liar, cheater, what do we care? But these are men who are cheaters, liars, oppressors, and endowed with, equipped with power, with guns and tanks and bombers and what have you, or in Krishna's time, with other weapons. So when it becomes too much, then Krishna appears. Dharma samsthapanartaya aparitranaya sadunam vinashaya chadrushkutika. And Krishna appears and removes the burden created by the demons.
Tava janmana,
your Isha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet you appear to take birth.
Janmana.
So Krishna's janma is not like the janma of an ordinary human being. Janma karma cha me divyam. His birth and activities are all transcendental. Otherwise, the demigods wouldn't have wasted their time. The demigods don't just show up every time there's a birthday. They're not like Purohits who come and perform ceremonies and collect a fee. They're coming because they know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is about to appear. So again, they say, Dishya, such good fortune. Ankitam tvat padakai shushobhanai. The earth will be imprinted with the marks of your lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet have particular markings by which his footprints are distinctive. So the Lord, the demigods say, will be walking on the earth, and his footprints, therefore, will be decorating the earth. When the earth was talking with in the form of a cow, was talking with the bull, then this point was made that you were so fortunate that your surface was decorated with the lotus footprints of the Lord. Akrura also went into ecstasy by seeing the lotus footprints of Krishna imprinted on the dust of Vrindavan. So these are transcendental markings. Ankitam Trat Padakai. Not Padai, but Padakai. That means small lotus feet. Krishna's not going to appear as a giant demon killer. He's going to appear just like an ordinary human being, at first like a little baby, a small lotus feet, padakai, delicate lotus feet. The gopis were saying, your feet are so delicate, and when we think about your walking on the stones of Vrindavan, then we begin to cry. So Krishna's feet are so delicate. And yet Krishna is so powerful that he can kill demons like Achanura, Mushtika, Geshi, and a long list. He appears, therefore even Putana could catch that this child looks like an ordinary child, but there's something dangerous about this child. Something is dangerous here. He appears just like a tender little baby, but he's capable of killing the Putana Rakshasi. His feet were so small, and yet when he was placed beneath a cart, somehow or other, he kicked the whole cart over. If you take, one of these little babies there was one here earlier, you take the little baby who's brought by his mother for darshan, and you put him under a cart, he can kick his feet all he likes and it won't do anything. Besides, the cart will be like way up here and the baby's way down there. What will the kicking do? And even if he somehow were to kick a wheel or something. But Krishna was placed beneath the cart, and somehow the cart smashed and everything went flying. Coward man, what happened? Then the little children said, no, Krishna kicked the cart with his feet and everything went. So this is Krishna, Padakai. Although he has small, tender lotus feet, Mahatpadam Punya Yasho Murai, the whole cosmic manifestation, Mahatattva, is situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. And the yogis are meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Again, there's no use for yogis to meditate on ordinary feet. But because these are Krishna's lotus feet, the yogis and great sages are all meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Sadapa Shanti Surya. So Drakshyama will seal everything. As Narada met with Krishna early in Krishna's pastimes and said, we'll see you killing this demon, we'll see you killing that demon, we'll see you do this, we'll see you, because Narada is Trikalgya. He knows past, present, and future. So he said to the Lord, I know that we'll, now that you've come, we'll see you perform all these wonderful pastimes. The demigods may or may not have known the extent of Krishna's pastimes, but they knew that he would do something, and they knew that he would, his lotus feet would be gam dhyamcha, present not only on earth, but even in the heavenly planets. Even in the heavenly planets. Krishna went to Indraloka to help Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridiyanti Yuge Yuge. Krishna's, one of Krishna's functions is to help the demigods. Earrings of Aditi were stolen by the asuras. Krishna helped, he retrieved everything. But then his wife, Satyabhama, saw that here on the heavenly planets there's Parijata. Rukmini got some Parijata flower, this exquisite heavenly flower. So she expressed her mind to Krishna that, Krishna, I'd like a flower too. Why only Rukmini? So Krishna said, why just a flower? I'll give you the whole tree. Krishna was present in the heavenly planets for that purpose, and the marks of his lotus feet were there. Then Indra became angry that this is called ingratitude, that Krishna comes to favor Indra, but then when his little tree is taken, then, you can't take this tree, this is for the heavenly planets, it has no business going to earth. Don't take my tree, you can't take, this is my tree. Muyanti Yatsurya. Even the demigods become bewildered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Drakshyama we'll see on earth, Dhyamcha, in heaven also, your lotus feet, or the marks of your lotus feet. Tava anukampitam, by your causeless mercy. Krishna is not invoked like, you know, who was it? Durvasa, you know, he chanted a mantra and pulled his hair from his head and a demon appeared by his mystic power. Oh, Krishna's not like that, that you can perform some ritual and chant a mantra and Krishna will be obliged to appear. He can appear or not appear because Swarat, he's fully independent. He's not under the law of any obligation. Name partastikartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. There's no duty prescribed for me anywhere in the three worlds. I'm not like the demigods who have some duty to perform. They have some duty to provide rain, to provide sunshine, to provide this, to provide that. Departmental heads, they have some prescribed duty. But Krishna says, name partasti kartavya. Trishu lokeshu kinchana. In all the three worlds, there's no duty at all prescribed for me. I can do what I want. That's Swarat. Swarat means there's no superior authority to say, you have to do this, you have to do that. So Krishna, when he appears, appears by his causeless mercy. That's also what... Name taya bahuna shrutena. What is that? Tame vaisha vrinute tunam swam. Krishna is not understood by lectures, by sharp intelligence, by this, by that. He reveals his form when he wants to reveal his form. Yogamaya Samavrata. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. Yogamaya Samavrata. Mudho Yam Nabhijanati. Krishna doesn't reveal himself to any mudha who comes along and says, can you show me God? When he wants to. The Hiranyakashipu, can you show me God? All right, I'll come. Just to have some fun and fight with you and kill you. So when he wants, he comes. When he doesn't want, he's under no contract or obligation. So when Krishna comes, it's anukampitam. It's by his mercy. Because this material world is such a miserable place, saṃsāra dāvānala. So he comes by his mercy on the conditioned soul. Or the demigods are praying to the Lord. The Lord particularly favors the demigods. Vishnu bhakta smrita deva asuras tad viparya. For the demons, there's no need to appear. Krishna can perform the function of vinashaya tradushkritam just through material nature. He can drop a tree on them. He can have an earthquake or a flood, anything, and wipe out the demons. He doesn't need to do it personally. So he really comes, parachanaya sadhuna, by his causeless mercy upon the devotees. That's his special concern. And by special mercy, he shows his pastimes in Vrindavan. In other incarnations, he also comes, he also favors the devotees, he also kills the demons. But when he comes as Krishna, he shows the full opulence and sweetness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reveals the full opulence of his transcendental nature when he comes to Vrindavan. So the earth will be fortunate that Krishna will appear in Vrindavan and perform his original pastimes. Even in Vaikuntha, the residents are not so fortunate as to be able to see these sweet pastimes that Krishna performs in the role of an ordinary human being. In Vaikuntha, the Lord is always in a majestic form with four arms and the supreme controller. But in Vrindavan, he becomes just like a child for Yashoda Mahi, just like a friend for the cowherd boys, like a lover for the gopis. He comes and shows so many different transcendental activities, playing on his flute, Venum Kanvantam. In Vaikuntha, no flute. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. But Krishna, he also has the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, but on his feet. The supreme symbols of Lord Narayan, Krishna has on his feet. And in his hands he has the flute. This is another special feature of Krishna, that he attracts the minds of all the Brajbasis. By the sweet sound of his flute, he enlivens all the inhabitants, even the cows, the peacocks, the Jamuna. That description is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, how by Krishna's flute playing, everyone was enlivened. Some of the living entities became stunned, just like the calves. They're drinking milk from their mothers, and they hear the flute, and they just go into trance. The waves of the Jamuna flow in the opposite direction. The peacocks dance or stop dancing. Well, everyone is, overwhelmed by the, astonished by the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute. So the demigods, they may not know, but surely will see wonderful things, because wherever Krishna goes, he performs wonderful activities. So these will all be manifest, and this is like a prelude. The demigods are, in one sense, welcoming Krishna or praying to Krishna, taking the opportunity to offer their respects and express their hope or gratitude at the, for the Lord's removing the demons, a future pastime. So this is like an opening scene. Krishna's, even before Krishna appears, these wonderful things are happening. The demigods are coming to offer prayers, glorifying the Lord. All right, are there some questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. How to attract the causeless?
How to?
Attract.
How to attract?
The causeless mercy of the Lord.
How to attract the causeless mercy of the Lord. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Ayi nanda tunuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambhava. Kripaya, by your causeless mercy, tavapada pankajas titaduli sarvicham vichinte. Please consider me your servant. And amanina amanadim. One attracts the causeless mercy of the Lord by being dependent on the Lord. The Prabhupada gives the example that a mother has several children, but the youngest child is always crying for the mother, crying for them. So the youngest, that child gets more attention. There's so many children, not that the mother loves this child more than that child, but this child is always crying for the mother's attention. So the mother gives, yes, yes, yes. So Prabhupada said the chanting is just like the crying of the child for the mother. That means one actually has to be very humble. If one is thinking that I'm really a dynamite chanter, I chant fantastically. When I do kirtan, the all living entities become stunned. Especially the girls, they all look my way. And I should probably make a CD or something so that, and I'll certainly be invited to America to chant Hare Krishna. And if I'm married or if I get married, then I can also make good money by doing Pakka Kirtan. So then, why should Krishna be attracted? You've got your scene together, you've got your on top of everything. What do you need him for? You only need the shadow of his name or the reflection of his name so that you can attract people, but you don't really need Krishna himself. But when one is calling out, when one realizes that what power do I have? I'm completely helpless. That oh Krishna, I'm drowning in this ocean of birth and death. If you're drowning someplace, you don't pick up your cell phone or your, you know, raise your hand and say, excuse me, but I have a problem here. You help, because you know that without help, you're going to drown. You'll go under. You have maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then you're gone. So how desperately are you calling out to the for help? Please, someone. So, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your servant, but somehow this has happened. I've fallen in this ocean. Please pick me up and consider me like a little speck of dust at your lotus feet. I don't have to be the Pradhan Acharya or something. Just a little speck of dust, and that will be good.
Parikshit Maharaj, when we read Bhagavatam on a daily basis...
When we hold the microphone, we hold it closer.
Read Bhagavatam, so we read for half an hour, 1 hour, or 2 hours, but during the day, we are not able to absorb our consciousness in Bhagavatam. So how can we do that?
Yes, that may be. Just like Arjuna is fighting at Kurukshetra, he's not meditating on this sloka or that sloka. He's fighting. But by hearing, our whole life becomes dedicated to Krishna, so that while I'm doing this or that, I'm Krishna conscious. I may not be remembering this pastime, that pastime, but I'm thinking of Krishna. I'm remembering to chant. I'm remembering that I have to do this for Krishna. And one is doing it. I mean, why am I doing these things? They're not paying me. Brahmacharis are going out and distributing books. How much do they pay you? Krishna, right? Nothing. So why are you going? You're going for Krishna. That means thinking of Krishna. And by the more one chants Hare Krishna and reads the books, the more one does remember. And if you're distributing books, then naturally you have to tell about the book, so then that's kirtanam. So the devotee tries to organize his life in such a way that he's always remembering Krishna, speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna. Is that okay? Yes.
If a father in mundane world has 3 children, and one is decrying, one is defying, and one is disobeying.
So one is which? A little slower. One is which?
One child decries him, one child defies father, one child disobeys father.
One child decries the father, one defies the father, and one disobeys the father.
Okay. Then we would naturally call that father very miserable and unhappy. So like that, Krishna has 3 set of creatures, like demons, demigods, and humans. And these 3 categories of creatures are always decrying, either defying or disobeying. And he has to run around from one universe to another universe, one planet to another, to correct them and prove them that I am the Supreme God. Is it not a heavy labor?
Okay, so the demigods and the demons, they're all like these children, defying, decrying, disobeying, and the Lord has to go from universe to universe to deal with them. Isn't it like a burden? First thing is that the demigods generally don't defy, decry, or disobey. Vishnu bhakta smita daiva, asuras tad vipariyo. The asuras, they're always decrying, defying, disobeying. But the suras, om tad vishnu paramam padam sada pashanti surya, they're always remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. They're generally the obedient, they're running the whole universe out of obedience to the Lord, and the Vedas have said, out of fear of the Lord, the wind is blowing, the sun is shining, so on. So it's not that the whole creation is disobedient. Stane Rishikesha Tava Prakirtya Jagat Parishyat Janarajatecha, the 11th chapter. My dear Lord, everyone becomes happy. The whole world becomes happy by hearing your name. Rakshansi Bhitani Dishojavanti. Only the demons are running here and there. They want, like cockroaches when you turn the light on, you know. So the demons, when there's glorification of the Lord, they disperse, they scatter. But Jagat Parishyat Janarajatecha. Otherwise, the whole world becomes happy to hear the glories of the Lord. Sarve Namashyanti Tascha Siddha Sangha. And the perfected beings are all offering obeisances to the Lord. So it's not that the Lord, therefore he comes, Parachranaya Sadhunam. The Bhagavad Gita, the Lord wouldn't say Parachranaya Sadhunam if there were no sadhus. Vinashaya Chajuskutam is only half the story. Parachranaya Sadhunam is the other half. That's actually the half Krishna's interested in. He doesn't have to go from universe to universe to deal with the disobedient, decriers, defiers, as I mentioned before. He can drop a tree on them. He can have an earthquake. He can have a flood, a tsunami, a civil war. There's so many ways to get rid of the demons. Krishna doesn't have to lift a finger. Material nature, it's chanurupam api yasya chacheshtata. She can take care of all the demons. No problem. What are these demons? They're mostly small-timers. And a few big demons are there. Even material nature can take care of the big demons. So Krishna's real purpose is Parachranaya Sadhunam. In this world, there are sadhus. There are demigods. There are Vishnu Bhaktas, devotees of the Lord. It's for them that the Lord comes. And that's a pleasure. And when he kills the demons, that's also for the pleasure of the devotees. It's mentioned in Shastra. Even a saintly person is happy when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So when the demons are killed, then the demigods become happy, the devotees become happy. We hear that Krishna is killing the Aristasura or the Aghasura, and the demigods are raining flowers from the sky. So that's Krishna's real business, to please the devotees. Just like sometimes we see in a movie or read in a novel, some man is there with his girlfriend or his wife, and some tough guy makes a insulting remark or something, and then so that, you know, the hero, okay. Bam, 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 bam. And the wife or the girlfriend is on the side. Right? So Krishna's real business is to please the devotees, and he enjoys transcendental pleasure himself, both by pleasing the devotees and by killing the demons. That it's not a burden for Krishna, it's easy business, but he enjoys it. Even a king sometimes keeps a professional wrestler in his court, just so that sometimes he can enjoy the sport of wrestling with someone. So Krishna, he enjoys wrestling with the demons. He even sends some of his own men. You be a demon and I'll fight with you and we'll have a good time. For Krishna, there's no burden. Everything is ananda.
Then why is not making a permanent settlement of all this and always enjoyable?
Why is Krishna not?
Permanent settlement of all these things by which he has not to take birth from universe to universe.
Why is Krishna not making a permanent settlement? Permanent settlement of what?
Of not taking birth and killing demons and like that.
He enjoys. Why make a permanent settlement? You know, just like if you like to go to America, you like to go again and again and enjoy. Well, Krishna likes to come to this material world from time to time. If he settles everything up, then that's, you know, the fun is over. So Krishna enjoys coming again and again. Apart from that, from the other side, there's always demons who create a disturbance. Even if you settle everything up, some new ones come. So then Krishna comes again and again. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Also, if he settled it up, then the words of Bhagavad Gita would be false, and Krishna wouldn't want his words to prove false. He says, Sambhavami yuge yuge, paratranaya sadhanam. So there always have to be sadhus and duskritam, so that Krishna can come again and again and fulfill his word. The words of the Vedic literature should never be false.
Thank you very much.
Last question.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You explained about how Indra, he was helped by Krishna to get the earrings and the umbrella of demigods. So he was grateful at that time. And we see in the prayers also that demigods are thinking themselves fortunate that yes, we will see your lotus feet. But in the other instance, when Krishna asked for the flower tree, Parijata tree, then he was ungrateful. He forgot that. We also, many times it happens that we become ungrateful. We forget the help done to us by other devotees. How we overcome this tendency?
Yes, it's a good question. That Indra, he's grateful, but then when his sense gratification is disturbed, then he forgets and he becomes indignant. You're taking my tree, you can't do this. So we have a similar tendency to be ungrateful. What to do? Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, wear this sutra, this verse around your neck for constant remembrance. Trinadapi shunichena turordapi sihishnina. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And we know also that despite everything, we'll sometimes commit offenses, we'll sometimes be ungrateful, we'll sometimes be hard-hearted, we'll sometimes be... Therefore, when we see that these anarthas are there, then we should regret our... non-devotional tendencies or our misbehavior and try to come back to the right platform. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Even if one does the most horrible thing, if he remains fixed in devotional service, he'll still be considered a sadhu. So we should not do horrible things, but when we do things that are not to the standard or when our mentality is not to the standard, then we should see, oh, this is Parikshit Maharaj. He garlanded the Shamak Rishi with a snake. Oh, you're not going to treat me with even a little cordiality? Well, tit for tat. Here, have a cold snake for a garland. You deserve it. But then later when he was returning to his kingdom, he thought, no, I did the wrong thing. I insulted a sadhu. So this is the mentality of a devotee. If there's something wrong, he doesn't persist. I'm right. I know what I'm doing. He offended me. After all, they don't understand. I did this for Prabhupada. I did that for Prabhupada. Blah, 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 blah. He thinks that, no, so many mistakes I must have made. I must have offended so many people, or even if no one's offended, I know that in my heart where in my mind these unwanted things are going on. So he keeps a humble mentality, or if he departs from a humble mentality, he comes back. If his mind wanders from the chanting of the holy name, then he brings it back to the chanting of the holy name. And he gradually becomes purified. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I should have asked Maharaj or Jagat Purush Prabhu if they wanted to add something. That was my negligence. Would you like to add something?
Yeah.
Please.
Just a quick reflection, Maharaj, and thank you so much for a very beautiful class. So, I loved your observation of the fact that the opulence which is carried by Vishnu and by Kunta is on the soles of the feet of Krishna. That's a wonderful picture. I never really thought of it like that. That this immense opulence is but a few images on the soles of the feet for Krishna. Krishna is so great. And the other thought that I had was that as the demigods are feeling grateful that Krishna is about to remove the obstacles of the demonic population, I think of ourselves that we can also feel extremely grateful sometimes, or fortunate, the word is fortunate, that sometimes we feel perhaps a little unfortunate that we're living in this hellish Kali Yuga. But there's no reason to feel unfortunate. We should feel very, very fortunate because Krishna is present by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee. He has brought Krishna to us. He is enabling us to think of Krishna, remember Krishna, and to give Krishna to others. So even though we are surrounded by these hellish situations of this world, we should be feeling extremely fortunate, because even though it hasn't fully happened yet, we know that it's on its way. Just as the demigods knew that all of these demons are going to be gone because Krishna is here. So we also should feel that this world is going to be completely cleansed because Srila Prabhupada came and established Krishna consciousness in the world.
Hare Hare,
Hare. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Jagat Purush Prabhu. Hare Krishna.